Good afternoon. Today is Monday, October the 6th, 276th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. Hey, guy.
Good afternoon.
So why'd you all of a sudden sit up like cameras are on?
You're pretty funny. This is where I'm most comfortable.
Oh, really?
You can't see me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that goes for a lot of us, man.
Yeah.
So what do you want to talk about? Anything exciting? Obviously, we had the officer-involved shooting.
We can discuss that.
It would be a pertinent thing, at least to get what you said in the press conference.
Sure.
Anything else in particular?
We have Measure Q coming up,
yeah,
which I think is important.
I bet you do.
We can give some facts on that. And
oh, good. And you don't have any.
General.
Good. I'll get you. You're doing too good of a job.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tease you on that one.
Yeah.
Really? We'll find out when we come back.
There's a backside to that.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 313. You found a quote here?
I did.
Which
bottom
one?
Bottom right.
Bottom right. Ah, a proverb. No, it's not a proverb. Gregory Abert. Do you know this man?
No.
Oh, good.
That's a random page.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. Prosperity depends more on wanting what you have than having what you want. Isn't that cool?
Profound.
And a cop found that one.
Thank
and liked
you.
It.
I
Holy
can actually
cow.
Read.
Well, that's another issue entirely.
Yeah. Single syllables. But
that's yeah, all that's all right. That works. That works. So, are you doing too good of a job, man? Pushing?
See, when a guy like you asks me that kind of a question, there's always going to be a backstory.
Trouble,
so I'm waiting for the backstory.
Okay,
first.
Fair enough. It seems as if the pudding is getting stirred a little bit.
It is.
And we're seeing folks in different areas. Now, most of it's homeless, but there a lot of those folks, they're finding some solutions. That's dandy. That's great. We're seeing some other things. Not to get too political with some of the measures, but you know, if there's the minimum wage thing, I know that there's going to be some shifts in the community about where businesses are located, shopping patterns, and all that kind
right.
of stuff are going to be impacted. Okay, your efforts. I'm seeing, who was I talking to? I forget who it was, but I grew up about three blocks from here. I mean, I'm familiar with the area. I'm seeing things that I've never seen here. The shopping carts, we never saw shopping carts. I mean, that was too sophisticated. That was in the town.
Right.
That was never Myrtle Town. We never had, we don't need any shopping carts.
That's just Eureka.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but that was from other areas. I'm seeing them here now.
Right.
I've talked to a couple of buddies who have got homes that are next to some of the canyons and the gullies and stuff that have always been very, you know, you hear the birds in the morning and the frogs at night and that kind of stuff. Finding abandoned campfires that were still active, having to run people out of their property. Things that in the last two or three months have changed. Okay, now I know there's I can't say a new sheriff in town, can I?
Yeehaw.
Yeah, okay.
There's an old sheriff in town.
Yeah, Festus is here.
Yeah. I got my one bullet.
Yeah. So things are obviously changing, whether they are changing because of the ordinances or because of the threat of the ordinances or because people are talking to folks or whatever it is, change is afoot.
Yeah.
Is this the front wave of what you were hoping to start implementing or having as a reaction to some of the things you've been implementing?
Well, I don't want this to happen where people are displaced to other neighborhoods that have not traditionally been impacted by some of these problems. However, we did expect that to take place at some level. And there's been a lot of research on displacement issues. And what you never get is wholesale spatial displacement. What you get is fractional.
You have been reading again, haven't you? Wholesale spatial displacement.
By John Eck and Julie Wartell, published by the Police Executive Research Forum. What you get, thank you. Aren't you impressed I could pull that one out of my sleeve?
You know, if I hadn't seen the Crayola handwriting on your palm, I really would have been there.
Crib sheets.
Yeah.
And what you get is partial displacement. And so the problem is less intense where it has been and a little bit more fractured and displaced. Now, I know people don't want that in their neighborhoods. I wouldn't, and I don't. But then there's other solutions that need to be applied to make sure that we just don't displace from one area to the other. For instance, I think October 17th, the new shopping cart ordinance takes place in Eureka. Well, if people want to hang on to shopping carts, they're probably going to go out into the county someplace where they can hang out of their shopping cart. So I think it'd be wise for the county to maybe have a mirrored ordinance to make sure that the retailers are taking care of their carts. And it's amazing to me why one retailer has no shopping carts out there and another retailer, a different retailer, has hundreds. And it's all about controlling their carts. And so I think that it'll be great for the county to do many of those same things.
Now, when we hear about various governmental entities, we'll hear this of this term, joint powers agreement, memorandum of understanding, sphere of influence, all these wonderful catch. Yeah. You heard them too.
Yeah.
All right, in your vast reading.
I made them.
Yeah. Right. What is the status with something like the shopping cart ordinance? If they are, for those who don't know, half of Harrison Avenue is in the city, half of it is in the county. If they're pushing the cart on the county side, can your guys do anything? Or is this one of those that it's to the city line? And I'm sorry, guys, but that's where it goes.
Well, there's two different laws. One is the city municipal ordinance, which will allow us to have some greater powers with the shopping carts. It will also provide a mechanism for these things to get collected and returned to the owners, and that's the key element, as well as forcing the owners to be a little bit more responsible. In the county, to my understanding, they do not have that at this point. There is state law, however, though, that you can't take someone else's property without their permission. It's a theft. So, but this is just a little bit more robust, and it'll give our folks an opportunity to do a little bit more with it.
So you did your hands aren't tied, and there is some flexibility, and the SO also has the same if they choose to recognize that.
You bet.
Hamstrings. Your hamstrings are tied.
Yeah, my
hamstrings. All right, let's go have a barbecue. Yes. Yeah. It's 3:19.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. Andy, the press conference you had last week about the officer-involved shooting.
Yeah.
Okay, you got 6 minutes. You want to reprise us with the best of Andy?
Sure. It's not even the best of Andy. It's just a tragic situation. I spoke with the mother two different times. And my heart aches for her. I mean, what parent doesn't ache for someone like that who's lost a child, you know, prematurely? But the bottom line is, it was a tragic situation that could have been avoided. And the facts of the case are they were out partying and came home, and everybody else went in the house, and Thomas McLean originally went in the house with his friends and family. And was in there for a short period of time, came back out to smoke a cigarette in the front yard, and another person came and parked their vehicle on the street, and he walked out for whatever reason to confront that person. And now that person told us that he accused them of being a drug dealer. And now, don't know if that's the case or not. We don't believe so. The person told us they were going to visit just a neighbor at that time in the morning. What he didn't know is we had two officers in the cemetery doing surveillance on the house next door. We were looking for a guy that was on our most wanted list who was supposed to have been armed. We had assistance tip. The guy was staying there, and Duncan Devine is his name. And so the officers were watching the house and watched this confrontation. Well, as Thomas talked with this guy, he did what's called a safety check. And now police officers know that because when you're carrying a concealed weapon, you frequently do it. So if you have a gun loose in your waistband, for instance, you hit it with your forearm or your wrist or your top of your hand just to make sure the gun's there, that it's stable. So they recognized it when he did that, that he did a safety check. Now, they hadn't seen a gun at this point. So they got the sergeant on the phone and said, hey, we're out here doing surveillance, and we're seeing this guy came out to do this confrontation. He did a safety check. We think he might be armed. And the sergeant said, okay, you know what? Stay put. Stay where you are. We'll send a black and white through, a patrol car through, to see if we can force him back in the house. I thought that was a great decision on the sergeant's part to try to have a non-confrontational issue. If somebody's carrying a gun or dope or something illegal, frequently if the black and white pulls in the area, it's like, you know, let's find someplace else to go. So they went, the patrol car went through at a very slow speed to be obvious. And and Thomas just stood there, watched the car go by, and as soon as the car got past him, he pulled the weapon out of his pants. Now it's clearly visible to the officers doing surveillance in chambers around. Pulls the slide back like he's chambering around, and then stuck it back in his pants. Well, that's exactly the opposite of what you want.
That doesn't sound like safe maneuver either.
Yeah, you don't want to put that in your pants. And then so then they called the sergeant back, who was now very close to the scene, said, hey, we now saw the gun, and we heard him rack around. And the sergeant pulls onto the street and pulls up in front of the house and is standing there giving him very clear commands at gunpoint, obviously, because you don't want to have somebody shoot at you and then say, okay, I probably better take my gun out and defend myself. You want to do it on the front side. So the sergeant is giving him clear commands, and they were so loud that the officer who had drove by pulled a U-turn in the back alley and could hear it a half a block away.
So everybody in the house would have
everybody in the house should have been able to hear it, and certainly the guy in the front yard should have been aware of it. And he responded to the officers, to the sergeant who was yelling, you don't have the right to come search me. And so the sergeant, obviously this raises a red flag. The other officer came around, got out of the car to cover the sergeant. Now, one's the contact officer, one's the cover officer. And the cover officer is doing his job, just getting online. And he says, I can see the gun. Because they're pretty close. There's ambient lighting from the street light as well as the headlights of the car. And as well as another officer with this flashlight focused on the individual. And the officer, so we have two officers up close. One officer had left to run down the block to jump over the fence to come up and cover. The other officer stayed and put. He's probably 20, 30 yards away. So the officer, the sergeant, gives commands and says, you know, I see the gun. Don't touch it or else I will shoot. And put your hands up. Guy puts his hands up. He starts to shrink his hands down. And now both of them start yelling very loudly, put your hands back up. He comes up slightly. And then for whatever unknown reason, he reached down quickly and grabbed the firearm, and then was shot. As it turns out, it was an exact one-for-one replica of a Walther PPQ gun. It was a replica gun. It was not a real firearm, and the officer was forced to shoot. It's again horribly tragic, but this could have been prevented. If an officer points a gun at you and tells you to do something, it's best to comply. And then I don't know why you'd carry a replica pellet gun in your pants anyway when you're going to go confront somebody. And the officer's fear was, if this guy comes back out of the house to his truck, and this guy goes back out there with the firearm, and we confront him, now you've got a problem.
KINS, News and Information Time, 3:30. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish-language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. Andy, obviously there are lessons after every day. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what's going on, there's always lessons that are learned and somebody gets a different perspective or a little bit better. With the officer-involved shooting or with the doggy bite, what lessons are there? I mean, is it the community needs to pay attention that maybe PD is a little bit serious when things get said? Was it a learning experience for the officers involved to go, okay, maybe I do it a little bit differently? Or we followed protocol and it didn't work out the way we wanted it to, it did work out.
Well, you know, it's a good question. And we can always learn from any situation, even though I believe we were within moral, legal, and policy correctness here on this particular incident. We are going to do an administrative review with outside influence. I'm going to have a couple of other people who I consider very knowledgeable in police tactics and policy to take a look at it and say, can EPD do things better? I want to know that. If we can, then we're going to do the training and make sure we do it. I also believe, though, that at the same time, the community bears responsibility for our actions and for their actions. If this were the case, you have a family member who is out and you're drinking heavily and so forth, and you see the police, there's a police involved. Hey, take responsibility. And then if the police, again, are in a situation where we're going tactical, you've got to comply. And I think this counterculture that I see frequently here in Humboldt County of make me or this underground culture of we've lived outside the law for so many years with the marijuana industry, so I don't care what you say, I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, unfortunately, there are times where the police are going to have to prevail, and I don't want to see people in that situation. So we are going to take a look at it administratively. I will issue a report to council, and then that way they can take a look at it.
So as you ponder the possibilities, are there some departments that, obviously there are renegade departments.
Right.
Okay, and there are those that are probably a little too understanding, too sympathetic.
Right.
How do you hit the sweet spot?
It's constant adjustment. And I think it depends on the culture of the nature of the community that you serve. And I want to make sure that we treat people with respect and dignity. I mean, if you're walking, I got a complaint from a gentleman walking through the parking lot, 76-year-old, and was confronted by one of our officers looking for a car burglar. And the officer was short with him.
Like, have you seen, okay, thanks, bye, boom? Or is it you?
Yeah. First of all, is it you? It looks up, you see a 76-year-old guy. He's probably not breaking into cars, I'm guessing. And the officer says, well, what's your name? Writes it on his hand and then just shoves off. It doesn't hurt us to address that person as sir. It doesn't hurt us to show a level of dignity and respect for somebody who served our country in Korea and so forth. So I think we can do those things a little bit better. We are working on that as an agency. At the same time, there are also some tactical things that you can do differently to make sure that if it's a confrontation that you're doing it tactically and operationally effectively. Get a dog there as quickly as possible. The more time, talk, and tactics you use, the less likely you are going to be to use violence to resolve the situation. If you can get an extended range impact weapons, if you can use that's a beanbag gun for the, you know.
Oh, not a rocket launcher. That's rocket where I launcher. Was.
Yeah, we don't have any laws rockets. Yeah. And we don't. And despite those that are the conspiracy theorists, we also do not have drones with Hellfire missiles. Thought about it, but
yeah. It's can't swing that one yet, huh?
Can't afford it. So.
We had this weird report Sunday morning in Eureka, kidnap.
Yeah.
You know, I suppose if we've been around long enough, we remember the Karen Mitchell situation. So I think anything is potentially out there involving young girls.
Right.
Okay. Save that. It really seemed like it was a little weird. Different area, different scenario. Some of the basics just didn't. I mean, a 13-year-old at 7:30 on a Sunday. Most of them are still in bed. At least that's my understanding.
Right.
You know, not wanting to go to church. Okay, so that didn't make sense. And some of the other descriptors didn't seem to make sense. What's your read? We've not had an Amber Alert on it.
No. Amber has very strict criteria of when you can issue an Amber Alert, and this didn't meet that criteria. The second part of it is we do have some very serious questions about the veracity of the statement that was given to us. However, on the side of caution and the side of protecting, doing everything we can in case it is true, we felt it was necessary to put out a press release to get the information out there. Now, I have detectives out there right now. I'm waiting for a text message from them. We're taking on the person who reported this because
taking on means
challenging his statement because I got some serious questions. How do you see this? And same thing as you, a 13-year-old out at 7 o'clock in the morning getting grabbed off the street and nobody's reporting this. No parents are reporting their 13-year-old missing. So we went through every runaway we had. We got all their pictures and sat down with a witness and said, do you, like a photo lineup, do you see the person here? Yes, it's that it's that girl. Like, well, holy cow. Now we might even have more of a problem. So we had detectives come in. We had, the runaway juvenile detective come in, spent the whole day tracking down the parents, and the parents were able to confirm that their child is safe. It is not that child. So now the veracity continues to decline for the person, and we're doing some history on that person and so forth. So I hope by the end of today we can either issue another press release saying either it is or is not confirmed. And then here are some tips. I've been a cop for 34 years. I've seen very few valid kidnappings. A lot of reports.
Like the snatch.
Just a person gets snatched off the street. You know, most of them have been carjackings, where a mother leaves the car running, the kids get taken, or a father, that kind of kidnapping, you don't get the, I'm walking down the street getting abducted and taken someplace. However, I just would like to, crime prevention-wise, if somebody tries to force you in a car, don't go. Only bad things can happen from that point forward. It's better to fight and run. You have a better chance of survival.
KINS, News and Information Times, 343. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 347. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. Measure Q, it's an interesting document, I guess, is the simplest way to say it. Are you getting questions about it?
Not too many. I mean, when I speak and go places, people have a lot of questions. And the biggest question is, did the money go to the police department and to the fire department? And the answer is yes. About 79% of the money in the last year, 99% of the money went to police and fire. And so it's an operational necessity for us because that's how I fund pop team, traffic, and our PSOs. And so it's important. That money is very important to our success.
When you look at the city, I've never asked anybody this. If you can go brain dead on it, that's okay.
That shouldn't be too hard.
What would it, if this wasn't in place?
Yes.
As it is now. But those funds came through the normal, regular channels. How many more people would we need to have in Eureka? How much larger would the economy have to be to bring in that same amount?
Well, that's a good question. I think the total city budget was about $60 million. And and of course, others would have to actually correct me on this. And and that would include things, the enterprise funds and so forth that we can't touch. I mean, those are different pots of money.
Yeah, not general fund.
Not general fund stuff. So I think the stuff that you can actually touch and put your hands on is about $24 million. So $4 million of the $24 million would be, what is that, about 20-some percent, a quarter?
Yeah, you got that part right.
Okay, so yeah, if those numbers are correct, that would be a sizable amount. So for the police department, my budget's about $12 million. If we lose
inclusive,
if we lose Measure O or Measure Q, I'm going to lose somewhere between $1 million and $2 million.
And a 20% hit at this point means bodies.
I've already cut $1 million out of my budget. I already cut training. I cut lights. I cut a variety of things already because the city manager recognized a structural deficit and said we're not going to run a deficit. And so everybody in the city cut back 10%.
So that is prior to any impact. Well, of course, Q isn't in the current budget year anyway.
Right.
It's the following cycle.
Correct.
So you've already cut 10%.
I've already cut 10%, and there's no fat left. So that it will mean bodies. The question is, where do the bodies come from? And I have contractual issues I'll have to look at. And who gets cut? Do I eliminate a whole rank, or can I cherry-pick positions?
Have you started bothering to look at that? Or
Sure.
Are you just kind of saying, one, we got a year if need be. Two, let's wait till November the 5th and find out how the vote was. And maybe not only save the department, but save the time.
Well, I haven't. I've looked at what it will take to meet these budget shortfall of $1.5 million is kind of my projection. Now, the city manager will actually be the one to tell me, Andy, I want you to cut this much out of your budget. And he's a strong proponent of public safety, so we'll do what we can. So I've already looked at it, but my understanding is for 5th, we will start immediately making cuts so that if it doesn't pass.
Thanks for coming by.
You bet, man. It's always good to see you.
Just tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.